This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts, Jim and Tom. And Tom, this is an episode that I can't believe 8 weeks have passed because Mandalorian is over. It just seemed like we were talking about episode four like 2 weeks ago. But here we are. We're going to review the final episode, the big finale, episode 16, The Rescue, and deep spoiler alerts because we are going to – this is an extended Mando Minutes. We're also going to talk about Gore the God Butcher because you have a theory that I want to hear. But before we get into that, I just want to do a little PSA because I almost had Wonder Woman spoiled today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it doesn't come out in our country until Christmas.
Right,
but yeah. it released internationally.
Wow. Oh,
and a media outlet that I frequent to look for news, first thing on there, look at spoiler blank blank in this scene, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, it's an American-based company and they're putting it out there, and it's a major company. Like, come on, let people watch the movie.
Is it being released streaming worldwide?
No, it went to theaters.
Oh, okay.
I think the 18th was its official day, because I think that's when, you know, we were talking about how Monster Hunter was going to go up against Wonder Woman. And I believe it was the 18th. And then what it sounds like is somebody either saw it like overseas, or they got a pirate copy.
Yeah.
And they're trying to spoil it for everybody. So I think I'm going on a media blackout from now till Christmas, which is frustrating as a podcaster who is trying to cover all the news in the geek world. But I don't want to be spoiled.
For Mandalorian, I thought I was going to have to go on a media blackout. That's why I had to watch it on my phone while I was at work on break, because I didn't want anybody to spoil it. I knew if I waited too long, I couldn't avoid it. So, I mean, that sucks, but
I woke up. First thing I did was turn it on because I was working from home. And then as soon as I was done, I went on Facebook, and the first like five things that popped up on my Facebook were, you know, big spoiler alert of this character and that character. I'm like, come on, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, let people breathe.
But yeah, really.
That's my TED talk. I just wanted to vent and let people know that there's spoilers out there for a movie that doesn't come out until Christmas. So just be careful where you're browsing. But I want to hear your theory about Gore. You texted me last night. I never responded because I'm a terrible friend. And now I want to hear about it.
Well, it's kind of sort of... I was talking to somebody who is, or a group of people that are sort of kind of in the know. You know, they're just, they watch, they're not readers, or they haven't read in a long time. So they were asking, who do you think the big bad is and all this other stuff? And I said, you know, before Gore, I thought it was going to be Galactus or Doom.
Yes.
As the big bad. And then I said, now with how good Null is and how it's coming, the news is coming, the release of the Gore news while Null is killing it in the comic books made me start to think, well, maybe this introduces Null.
Yeah.
But everybody else is like, well, I thought Galactus, I really think Galactus. And I was like, well, you know, in the story, spoiler alert, Thor gets the Necro Sword out of the black hole and uses it to kill Galactus. So I'm wondering if Gore is going to be an extended like fight scene, maybe, because he's only one issue or a couple issues, right?
Yeah. And, it's like, I think it was like God of Thunder number two is where he debuted, and I don't think he lasted very long.
So I'm thinking maybe he's going to be an extended fight scene to fight somehow to introduce and maybe fight Galactus.
Okay. So you think he could be like, I don't know, like Ronan the Accuser leading into Thanos?
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to use him to his full potential, because if they did, he'd be the, you know, the final boss, in my mind. But the way they did, you know, they went back and they, you know, Thor gets the sword or the all black sword, and he, you know, slays Galactus. I'm wondering if they're gonna use Gore to bring in Galactus.
I mean, I wouldn't be against it. You know, Galactus has been pumped up as the biggest, baddest guy out there, right? Do you remember in the comics when Thanos killed Galactus?
Yeah.
And he became like Galactus or Thanos Prime or something. And he's like sitting on the throne, like the helmet of Galactus.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Galactus used to be the biggest, baddest guy in the neighborhood. And you know, when they were just trying to go for it, throw everything against the wall and see what stuck, they had people wind up killing Galactus.
Yeah.
So a lot of people actually beat Galactus, and he wasn't that litmus test anymore. He was a big bad, but he wasn't the big bad. And that's, you know, so that's what kind of turned me off with Galactus. I do think he's got to show up, but I don't know if he's going to be the final boss. I don't think he's going to be the Thanos level.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I know a lot of people are hoping for, but we've been kind of teased Galactus since the early Fantastic Four movies. You know, we got Rise of Silver Surfer, Galactus is coming. And, you know, I think Galactus, I haven't seen a movie in a while, but I think he had a cameo. Like, it was mentioned that he didn't, like, physically appear, but, like, the ominous clouds turned into Galactus. Mm-hmm. But to your point about Gore, Thor, historically in Marvel, has had a problem with their villains in the movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're not Loki, you're one and done. You know, you go back to Destroyer, that's gone. Malekith is gone. Surtur is gone. Hela is gone. So it just continuously one and done. I don't want Gore to be a one and done villain, and I can't say that he's going to be, because they got Christian Bale, and I'm like, oh, he's a great actor. He's Academy Award winner, Academy Award nominated. But they did that to Cate Blanchett. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at like the height of her career, like she's getting her Marvel role, and we're like, oh, well, she's going to be in here forever. She's going to be Lady Death with Thanos, and boom, she's just flushed down the toilet. I think you may be on to something with
as much Gore. As I would like Gore to be the like he is, you know, maybe my top five, and I think he'll be a huge presence, and this and whatever they use him for should be great. I mean, and you don't go and get Christian Bale just for it to be nothing. You know, at least in where he's going to be on the screen, he's going to be a big deal. But I don't know if he's going to be the end, you know what I mean? And I don't think he's going to get the – I hope he gets treatment that he deserves, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And I do think Galactus has to show up, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with the announcement of Fantastic Four being, you know, started, it leads to Doctor Doom, it leads to to Galactus, so – it's inevitable for us to get the bigger people behind the, I guess, the source wall, if you will. But with Gore, I'd be okay with if he's one and done in the Thor universe and maybe makes mention to Null. And then we get Null later and we see Gore in the beginning of his times. We don't get a full Gore origin story. We get Gore as the God Butcher.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's definitely – I don't want to see – I don't know what I mean. Like, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on Gore, you know, finding the Necro Sword and his kids and his. We don't need to know about that unless he becomes the biggest thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we need to, what I think we need to see from Gore is, like you said, like he's there, he shows up, he fights, and, you know, I think we need to hear a little bit about, you know, hey, remember when we did this, you know, 1,500 years ago or whatever, and, you know, he's fought Thor before, and Thor thought he beat him, but...
okay.
He, you know what I mean? Like, well, how what's actually in the story, like, you know, he barely beats him, you know, back during the Vikings time in, like, the thousands. So, that's what I think we kind of need. We need at least that part of the story, but we don't need... you know, the whole thing, and maybe not even the God Bomb. But I want something. I want Gore, like, legitimately out there killing gods. and just taking them out. So,
yeah, I'd like him to be like the criminal, and Thor and his gang be like Dog the Bounty Hunter's family, and they're like jumping from like Jotunheim to nowhere, like all these planets searching for Gore. I think that would be fantastic. I do think we're gonna. I think we're gonna get Null though. I do think that because it's been. I think it's been rumored. Not sure if it was confirmed that Sony and Marvel agreed to further their Spider-Man co-parenting. Okay. So, you know, you've got 25 characters from the past Spider-Man movies coming back. Daredevil's coming back. So it seems like they're setting up for a huge Spider-Man event outside of this Spider-Man 3. So if they set up Spider-Verse, you have that. But if they set up Sinister Six, you have that. They could bring Venom in, and then they could do King in Black.
Right. I wonder who gets control of Null.
I would say, let's see. He debuted in a Thor comic, essentially. Right. He was referencing that. Maybe Marvel holds the rights to Null and just uses him accordingly. Then it's Null versus Venom. But, you know, Sony's going to come in there and be like, anybody who has anything to do with spiders, we own. We own all of the cobwebs of the Marvel Universe.
And Marvel should just go, okay, whatever you want. We're going to make $1 billion, so...
Yeah, let us cash this $1 billion check, and then we'll add Venom to Spider-Land when we make it in Disney, you know, Asia. I don't know, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I'm excited now that we have Gore, and I know you are too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully, they'll start talking about, you know, some concept art leaking, and I know we're talking about spoilers and how I hate it, but I'd like to see the route that they're going, because there's Gore with the floppy ears, and there's Gore without the ears, and, you know, it's the tendrils.
Yeah, with the Borat, like, he's got the bikini, the mankini.
I don't want that.
Made of symbiote, so.
Yeah, I don't want that. I think that would be a little too much. But if they did, Sacha Baron Cohen would have been fantastic as Gore.
He would you know? Yeah. Same accent, actor. Too, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm excited. Speaking of excitement, let's get into The Mandalorian. We've went on I feel like it was like a 4.5 hour quest, 5 hour quest with Din and Grogu throughout the worlds of the Star Wars universe. We've met some new friends and some new enemies, and we saw the return and the redemption of some characters. Before we get into the finale, and again, spoiler territory, because we're going to spoil all of season 2 and the finale in nauseam. But what was your favorite episode besides the finale?
The Ahsoka episode.
Yeah, that was a great one.
It was so good. I feel like this whole thing has been a little like fan servicey. Like this whole season 2 was just to maybe win people back into the fold. And I think obviously they've done that. Sometimes that sucks. Sometimes, you know, it's just like, tell your story and, you know, don't worry about the fans. But they've went so far off the rails with this, they needed to come back. They needed to pull it back. And I think that's, you know, I think they did a fantastic job of doing it. And I think the Ahsoka episode, besides the finale, is the most fan servicey episode, and in a good way. Like it's all the things we thought were really happening. It was all the things that we really wanted to happen, and they delivered. So
yeah, and she doesn't come back after that. Like we got one episode, 35 minutes of pure Ahsoka, and then it's like, oh, we'll see her later. I think season 2, I think Favreau and Filoni were in a very tough spot because. Season 1, obviously, a success. Everyone loved it. Mm-hmm. But season 2 was what we were worried about. It was going to get Amazing Spider-Man 2 syndrome, where too many characters, too many side stories. And I think Filoni and Favreau navigated it perfectly. But I think they were under the microscope a little bit, saying, like, you have to get us to Disney Investors Day. Because that's when we're going to have all these announcements. We're going to have the Rangers of the New Republic. Ahsoka's going to get her series. And we all kind of thought that Ahsoka was going to get her series. And once we got the confirmation, it was good. And we understand why she was only in one episode. But then, you know, you have Bo-Katan and her crew. You have Moff Gideon mm-hmm. trolling around the universe. You have Cobb Vance, and you know Timothy Oliphant isn't, you know, a Oscar-winning actor, but he's a solid actor.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you hype him up and you bring him in, you have to do something with him. And then you bring Boba Fett and you bring Fennec back, and Bill Burr, the self-hated Star Wars fan, gets one of the best episodes. Like, that might be my, like, besides the Ahsoka episode and the finale, I think that might be my favorite episode.
Yeah, could have been. That's the first one that popped in my head was the first one. Yeah. I mean, when you see Boba, it's huge, but
yeah.
I think we were, the way they used well-known visuals and ships in this was a big deal. I mean, you see, that's like the first thing they do is they show you the ships, like,
yeah,
coming in.
It's very Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like when you see the Enterprise and you see the various ships that they're on.
Yeah. And you start to draw your own conclusions in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. You know, before, you know, you really see anything. So, I think they did a great job with that. It's hard to pick any, like, I know the spider one is kind of the weakest episode, but I still like that episode. I liked it, but I mean, when we've done our Mando minutes, we've said it all along, every one of them is a 5 out of 5, if not better. But, I mean, like, that's the weakest episode because it has the least to do with the overarching story.
Yeah.
It really doesn't have a lot to do with everything else.
But it does set up the new Rangers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's, like, that's the breadcrumbs, because we see the character come back and offer Cara doing the job that she took off camera, leading to what I think is her series. Not like her, like, Gina Carano is going to lead the series, but that's the series that she's going to be part of. And, you know, we see the X-Wings, and, you know, that's the symbolism to what's to come. And even with Cobb Vanth, you know, we talked about, are we going to see Timothy Oliphant back? Like, there was really no there was peace made between them, but we don't know where he stands. And at the end of the finale, we kind of know that I think, or at least I think, Timothy Oliphant's going to come back in another form, or not. He'll be Cobb Vanth in just another show.
Yeah. I think we might be seeing like a very like a Tatooine show or something along those lines. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Or where Cobb Vanth's going to show up, but I think we're going to, there's something going on Tatooine, and because we had so many stories there.
Yeah. And plus, like, we can jump all the way to the end. You know, this is what we do. We'll recap the finale in a second, but at the end, the end credit scene,
right,
when Boba Fett and Fennec show back up to Tatooine, they see Bib Fortuna, who I'm going to call Bub Fortuna at this point, because he is like 8 chins. He's turning into a hut. They show up, Bib's sitting there in the throne, murdered right off the gate, right? Mm-hmm. And you have that iconic scene, which is going to, I guess it's now iconic, with Boba sitting in the throne, Fennec slubbing on some melted blue stuff from 7-Eleven, like a Slurpee. And it says Book of Boba is coming back. And that's pretty vague because, you know, the show's called The Mandalorian. It could just be like Bo-Katan gets a series, Boba Fett gets a series, Din gets a couple seasons. This has been kind of talked about. Is it going to be a series? Is it going to be season 3 carryover? Because it's coming out 2021 and in December. So, you know, we know season 3 is coming out on Christmas. Is this going to be a new season or a new series? It's, from what I've read, a new series that comes out December 21st.
Yeah, it's supposed to run concurrent seasonally with this. You know, I get nervous with all these things coming out all at once, like, you know, the whole future of Star Wars is sort of kind of in these TV shows. We're getting movies, but these TV shows are pretty big. I'm nervous that we're going to lose it all, but I they're holding together very good, and what they've put out is unbelievable. I mean,
yeah, they're starting their own, like, CW verse, but with just a bigger backing paycheck and a bigger, you know, quality. Like, you're getting A-grade quality versus what some are going to say B-C quality on a CW.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we see Cobb Vanth come back.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's on Tatooine. You know, he's obviously, Boba knows that he stole his armor or bought his armor.
Right.
And there's, you know, and there's hell to pay, I guess, after that.
Cobb Vanth is the marshal of his town. Yeah. And Boba is now the crime boss, the crime kingpin on Tatooine. So, I don't know. Maybe they maybe we're going to see a lot of Cobb Vanth and Boba going at it in shootouts, which, you know, completely okay with, but
yeah, me too.
We'll see.
Completely, like 100% Western.
Yeah, really.
Do you think Boba is 100? Is he going to be a crime boss, or do you think he's going to try and clean up Tatooine?
I don't know.
You know, the mission.
It seems like he's always been morally ambivalent. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't. His morality is whatever keeps him afloat, and he has like and. He lives by this code, but the code doesn't say anything about killing people or abusing anybody.
He's not Batman.
No. And he was a bounty hunter. He was the number one bounty hunter for, you know, umpteen years. So I don't think he has like this hard and fast morality. I think it's just a code that he lives by. So I think he could easily slip into the underground and hold it all together. And the way that some people, you know, you go on these, you know, people are already bitching and complaining. There's the negativity is coming out, but a lot of people, you know, taking the side of the Hutts. Jabba was a complete, you know, piece of shit, but he was a linchpin in holding it all together. Like, he kept everything from getting too crazy over there. And, you know, maybe it's Boba can come in and do the same thing and keep, you know, all the gangs in one spot controlled by one person and not go too much out of control. I don't know if he even cares about that. Maybe he just wants to make money and do whatever, but we'll see.
Yeah. I kind of think I would like to see Boba bringing in the bad guys. Like, you see like more like Greedo's grandkids show up, right? We saw the Rodian in the club, but you see everybody come in and Boba Fett, like, either sends them on suicide missions that kind of carry over to the New Republic. Like, maybe he's like, not an informant, but, like, he's part of the new Rangers of the New Republic, sets them out there, they get captured, or he just kills them on the spot. Like, he's just like, you come to Tatooine, things are changing, boom, you're dead, we feed you to Sarlacc. And that's where they go from there. But I don't know, man. I don't think – I'd like to see Boba Fett become the Punisher, where I think he's actually going to become Kingpin.
Yeah, well, that's what's cool is we think we know Boba, but we don't know a lot about who Boba is.
Yeah.
They showed us a little, I mean, they really just only showed us a little bit about, you know, this code that he has. Like, he has a debt and he needs to pay it. And of course, debts are like, they're like the you know, gold in the Star Wars universe, you know.
Yep.
This whole universe is built on debts and paying them off. So that's all we've seen. You know, before all we knew was he was a bounty hunter, the best bounty hunter out there. And, you know, there is some legend stuff that say, you know, he does other things and, you know, he even becomes Mandalore, but I don't think they're going in that direction, but
no, which brings us to the finale where we get, you know, Rocket DDT. Is that a Sasha Banks new finisher move? Like, we'll jump around, but since we're talking about the Mandalore stuff, this episode is huge with Mandalore lore. You have the bar scene where Din, Fennec, Gina, or well, Kara, and Boba go in to see Bo-Katan and Koska Reeves, right?
Yeah.
We see Axe isn't there. The other guy from the Night Owls is gone. But you have that part. What did you think about that moment where it was like Bo-Katan immediately went on the defensive? Like, I've heard your voice. You're a clone. You're a fraud. You don't own that. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, I guess the voices thing is there was only one. And, you know, they you know, turned into stormtroopers. So I get, you know, rightfully so, you could just assume that he's an alive stormtrooper, or, you know, he has the same morality as a stormtrooper. And she says it, I know you're a clone, and
Yeah, that's not your dad's armor. That's your donor's armor.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the... This was an episode that had, like, crazy, stupid lines, like Scud in the skank pit or whatever. But, like, when she said that Django was a donor over being a father, like, that hits hard for Boba because he constantly said, like, this is my father. My father gave me this. So, like, it really hits home.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... He never says I'm a Mandalorian. He doesn't care about being a Mandalorian. Like, he's a lie. That's all he is.
And we know his dad was a foundling, and he talks about that.
Yeah, even his dad is not a true Mandalorian. I'm starting to wonder who are the true Mandalorians. I mean, Bo-Katan.
According to Bo, it's Bo.
Yeah, they're the only ones.
Din's not a true Mandalorian.
No, he's a foundling too.
Yeah, and at this point, he's not a child of the Watch either because he took his mask off.
Right.
Yeah, in one of the most touching scenes. We'll get to that in a bit. But I thought that scene, I know how important it was, but it kind of seemed out of place for if you're trying to recruit people and then immediately they're fighting each other and then it's a cut scene, they're on a ship, and they get to, they're all happy family.
I was watching a few different things and trying to get, like, trying to narrow some of my ideas down and see what other people thought. And it's, nobody really knows how it's shot or I don't know if it's shot like anything else, you get to your finale and you don't have a ton of money left. So yeah. I'm wondering if they skipped a few scenes and just allow you to like figure out like, they came to a deal. We knew Bo-Katan was going to broker a deal for the Darksaber Moff Gideon or Giancarlo Esposito was going to she was going to have to we didn't know she was going to have to fight him, but was going to get she was going to have access to him. So I guess they just skipped that like reconciliation scene of those two and just said you'll figure it out, we're moving on, which is fine. I mean, because I think they skimped somewhere else, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But it is kind of weird how they just kind of like glossed over that. But it was a cool fight scene. Finally, we got to see Sasha Banks do some.
Yeah, who said, I guess she signed an NDA. She was like, I'm not coming back. There's no talks of me coming back in season two. You're in the finale. Like, you got to use your wrestling moves. Like, we see what you're doing. I'm curious to see where Axe was. I wonder if maybe he died off screen and we just didn't, no one cared about him because they cared about Koska and Bo first. But I like how this episode immediately starts off as a rescue. There's no foreshadowing. We're right on, we're right on the ship. We're getting Dr. Pershing's. And then you get the explanation of why Gina Carano has a tattoo on her eye, why she has the teardrop. Mm-hmm. It's because she's from Alderaan. So I thought with that introduction of that douchebag pilot where he's just like, I was on the Death Star. And
the Nazi sympathizer?
Yeah, he's like, he was a Proud Boy, essentially. Yeah. He's a Star Wars Proud Boy. And he's like, we killed everybody. And it was a huge... huge win for us and a small sacrifice when we lost our little men. And she just blasted him in the face. And at that moment, I was like, this episode's going to be 100% badass.
was a good start.
Yeah, because like you find out who's strong, who's not. He thought he was strong. And then we find out that the doctor is 100% a weasel. Like, he doesn't want any bloodshed. He's like, listen, I'll show you where the dark troopers are. I'll show you how you need to get there, what we're doing with the blood.
Every time they come across an Imperial as soon as they don't have anything to lean on or they're exposed, they become bitches. Yeah. Like in the episode with Bill Burr. When he's talking to his like old commander, his old commander's a real douche. Like, talks about how he has to you have to sacrifice men for the good of the empire. But like everybody is kind of exposed as assholes. These guys get exposed, and then at the very end, you see Moff Gideon is exposed as like he's like, oh shit, this is getting too hot for me. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. That was a huge moment. Like, once we get onto the ship, what did you think about the battle with the dark troopers? And just Din, do you think Din has a concussion after that first fight?
They've built up and they propped up the Vespar or Beskar. They've built this up as like the greatest thing in the universe, and they don't ever veer away from it. Like it takes so much beatings, and it's okay because they told you that's what happens. That's what it's for. That's why it's basically the whole planet is built around, you know, this mythical, you know, type of steel. But when he's beating his head in, and it's denting the steel behind it, and not the Beskar, I was like, oh my god, that's awesome! Like,
yeah,
I thought. Who knows what's going on in there? I'm glad they don't. You know, it is kind of disconcerting when you don't see the faces. But you see his body gets just mangled. Mando Din's body just being tossed around and mangled like that.
Yeah, and like they explain it in just like subtle detail. They're like, they remind you how strong it is. It's kind of like vibranium in Marvel, which poses the question in my mind, like, which one's stronger? And I'd like to see like Adam Savage break that down, but neither of them are real. I love that, you know, you don't get the helmet cam. Like I wanted to see it, like where Din's like shaking in his helmet. Yeah. It's like his tears are going everywhere. But I love that when that happened, you know how strong they are, and then he becomes the Red Viper from Game of Thrones, and he stabs him through the chest, and then like launches him into the Oblivion. And when that happened, I was like, "Holy crap!" Like I told Chelsea, I was like, "These guys, they were so huge in the moment, and now they're gone." Like at first, I was like, "They're not even coming back." I forgot they were droids.
Yeah, yeah. They were so ominous, and the music was great here, and
the filming. I was waiting for like Duhas to start playing. And like a little Rammstein, and like they're opening up the door.
And I think that's why, you know, Moff Gideon was like kind of cool with the whole situation, because he knew that they were coming back.
So yeah, he had like, I thought he had like 12 of them. He had easily had like 200. Like when they showed like the little blips on the radar of them all coming in, I was like, oh my god, he's got so many.
That, I mean, that obviously leads to the I guess the best, like, from this series, the best 5 minutes of the series is that moment when they land and like they're beating on the door and you're like, what's going to happen? And
it was the Rogue One moment.
Moff Gideon's like, I know your wrist rockets, they ain't going to do anything and all this.
Yep.
So he kind of knows everything that goes on. And you're like, what's going to happen now?
And, he's like, he's got the Darksaber hanging over Grogu. Grogu's just looking at Din. He's got his little handcuffs on. He's like, listen, you're screaming Mimi weapon. That's done. We know that your spear. I can cut through it. And then you get great dialogue from Gideon, but you also get a great fight scene after that too. Yeah. Because like the seeing the Beskar versus the Darksaber in action was phenomenal. And then that leads us to the capture of Moff Gideon, and it kind of sets up – well, before we go to that, you remember how he's talking about the Darksaber, and he's giving the example of, like, this is why I have it, this is what it does, this is what it cuts through. Mm-hmm. What if we get that exact dialogue similar with the Darksaber but with the Necro Sword in when Gore's talking to Thor?
Yeah.
And there's your little foreshadowing of Null and saying, listen –
yeah,
I killed this god, and I stole this weapon, and this is where we're at, and this is how it works. And then you get an awesome fight scene, which, you know, maybe it goes into the black hole, and we see it later, like you said. Or maybe it goes in the hands of Thor, and he's got another weapon.
Does he need another weapon? Does he have both hammers still, or does he have one?
Well, at the end of Endgame, him and Cap had Stormbreaker and Mjolnir.
Okay.
So I would imagine he took Mjolnir back, which would end up going to Jane Foster. You know, I'm one for one on Thor. If Beta Ray Bill comes in, I feel like he's going to take Stormbreaker because that's his original weapon.
Yeah.
So what if Thor runs around with the Necro Sword all black? That would be fantastic.
Well, why not? I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's huge already, and you just have him carrying his little light sword. It would be fantastic. But we'll get back to the Mandalorian. We get to the point where Gideon gets captured. He doesn't explain that once you have the Darksaber, you are the heir of the rightful throne, and you have to be battled for it.
What? Yeah, once you've won it in battle and you wield it, you're now the Mandalore, the ruler of Mandalore.
Yeah.
So,
what did you think about that moment, like that reveal when he walks into the brig, or I don't know ships. He walks into the main center where everyone's at, and Bo-Katan's face just goes pure white when she sees him carrying the Darksaber.
I had to go back and remember, like, because I thought other people have given her, handed it to her, but what's her name that beat whoever? He was in the Darth Maul.
Are you talking about Sabine?
Yeah.
Yeah, when she gave it, she just handed it over.
Yeah, but she didn't get it through battle. She kind of just stole it. So that's okay, apparently. But if it can't just be handed over if you've won it honorably in battle. Like, you have to, it has to be given up honorably in battle, which is awesome. I'm wondering how that's going to tie in. You obviously, he doesn't want it, but she does. Is she going to be a good soldier, or is she going to be an antagonist?
Yeah, and they had a debt. Like, it seems like Din said, I believe he said, like, I'll sign up for your quest once we get the kid back and once we get Gideon. Yeah. And, like, when that happened, when he walked in and Gideon's handcuffed, Din has Grogu, he's got the Darksaber, I was like, they cleaned up every single storyline in this entire episode, and we've got 15 minutes left.
Yeah,
and I thought that he was going to give it to Bo. Bo was going to be like, okay, I have it. Kind of like when Sabine gave it over, and all of the Mandalorians that were left kind of banded behind Bo and said, like, you're a rightful queen, you know, a princess, wherever you're at, you are the leader of Mandalore. It didn't work that way. And then, you know, Moff Gideon, he leans over to Blaster, hides it under his cape, and I'm like, something's going to happen. Like, what's going to happen? And boom, Dark Troopers are back.
I think Moff Gideon planned this whole thing that way. Not to say that he planned to lose, but he knew that he wasn't going to die clean. Like, he wasn't just going to strike him down.
Yeah.
But I think he must have known that at some time, you know, that's how it's going to happen, like, between Bo and Din. So, you know, I'm excited in the future to see how that pans out. Do we go to Mandalore?
I feel like we have to, but it seems, you know, Boba says that they turned it into glass. So,
yeah, well, that happened.
You know, are they going to arrive to a glass planet?
I don't know.
It's one of these things. Like, at the end, when they were like, Book of Boba, I was like, oh, well, they tied up all the storylines. We're not going to see it anymore. Like, Bo-Katan, that's where we're left. And then I was like, it can't be that way. But we're glossing over a huge moment. And I feel like this is the part where you were talking about where they skimped on a little money, i.e. casting Sebastian Stan, because Dark Troopers come in and like Ludwig Göransson crushes it with the score.
Yeah.
Once that hits, they're walking in, the door's getting punched, Moff Gideon has a blaster, which I thought he was going to kill Sasha Banks' character or Fennec. I thought one of them was going to die, but they didn't. And Red Leader shows up. And you're like,
well, I like how Gina Carano is like, oh, look, they sent one X-Wing.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, what's that about? And I was like, oh, an X-Wing. Oh, no.
I was waiting for, like, Dave Filoni to pop out. And it's just like him from, like, Trapper Wolf just running around, just gets mowed down. First scene, he's out. But as soon as he came out and it's the black robe and the cloak, I'm like, oh, well, here we go. It's Luke Skywalker. He answered the call. Yeah. Here we are. And then the green lightsaber comes out. He's got the Michael Jackson glove on. And we get the almost shot-for-shot scene from Rogue One of Darth Vader. What did you think about the Luke Skywalker reveal?
This is the legend Skywalker. This is the most powerful Jedi. The guy that goes and, you know, mows down, you know, everybody and you go read about all his feats. He moves black holes and he does all kinds of craziness. That's him. That's the guy that is in Legends. And I had somebody talk to, I was talking to somebody and they said, do I need to go see all the movies? I'm like, first of all, you should have seen all the movies. You're 45 years old, but whatever. I was like, no. And I was like, to be honest with you, this takes more from Legends and it takes more, you know, than anything else. And that this is fan service. This is Luke Skywalker coming and he's going to now train Grogu. It's full circle, you know. He was trained by that species and now gets to train the species. That stuff he does in the hallway was awesome.
Yeah.
That's some amazing. Of the best you know, fight choreography that we've ever seen. Like the hallway scene in Rogue One, you know.
It's the best Darth Vader that we've seen, and I think this is the best Luke Skywalker that we've seen.
Yeah, definitely. And he does, you know, he uses like a Force crush, which you know, which is crazy. You don't see that. I was honestly thinking it could have been anybody. I just didn't know if they're going to bother going with Luke. And I don't know what that means for the future of this show. Like,
do you think that storyline's dead now? I was a little bit indifferent with Luke's reveal. Like, I love the episode. It's going to get a 5, but I was indifferent because I kind of had my hopes set that we were getting a new character. Ezra was going to show up, a returning Mace Windu, because I didn't want Luke to show up, and then that's the dead storyline. Because I don't think that they're going to pursue. We're not going to see Legend Luke series, you know what I mean? And it, as soon as they introduced it, I was like, okay, the first thing that popped in my mind was Mara Jade. I was like, okay, now we're entering territory where we might see her, because Legends Luke ushers in Mara Jade.
I just don't think we're going to see that much Luke because it's all CGI. If they went actual recasting, and they still might for a long-term purpose, but
when he walked in, I was like, this is Sebastian Stan. Yeah. I was like, Sebastian Stan's going to come out as Luke Skywalker. And then he pulled off the cloak, and I was like, oh. I was a little taken back. I was like, he's not dead, but like they de-aged him, obviously. And it was a little weird seeing young Skywalker there.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a problem that we've talked about with other stuff, is since we know the future, it's hard to get in the moment. I don't know. Maybe they'll figure that out. But for now, forget all that. We get to see the Legends Luke, and I don't know. That's the best Luke there ever was. The Luke at the end of the original trilogy is not the strongest Luke. You know, that's no, not even, it's the Luke in the Legends and all that stuff. And
Legends Luke is like Super Saiyan.
Yeah, he is. He has to restart training the Jedi creating the Jedi Council and training Jedi, and he has to create a new Jedi Order.
Which
kind
could
of
lead
excited
to a whole nother series.
Yeah.
You know, we could get the Jedi Order series, but I feel like you can't have 100% DH CGI character as your lead.
No.
Like, I wouldn't want that.
If he's going to be a regular, there has to be an actor.
Yeah, and we know how that story ends. You know, his nephew tries to kill everybody.
Potentially kills Grogu.
Yeah, which I hope the story's not over with Grogu, because honestly, man, the most emotional scene I've seen probably since Artax's death in Neverending Story. Like, I start to tear up. He took off that helmet, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, I'm 33 years old, and I don't care. Like, this is a little doll that I have in my other room. Like, I bought the toy, and I was like, I'm so emotional. And it was such a sad scene. You know, he essentially just gave up his son.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. And he shaved his mustache, it looked like.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. It can't be the end of it, though. Because all we've said through this whole thing is that they know what they're doing, and they're doing it everything right. And I think the wrong decision would be that being the end of Grogu's story.
Yeah.
Maybe
think
don't
of all the toys they can't sell.
Oh, yeah. And maybe he goes away for a couple episodes, but maybe, you know, we get to see.
I'm thinking like season 4 we see him come back, if we see him come back at all.
Maybe There's Grogu training montages and
oh my god, like Rocky and Karate Kid. he's just punching trees and shit.
He's in a mate because they need to sell new toys because Grogu wears the same thing. Maybe he's back and he's wearing Jedi robes.
And he's got a lightsaber.
Yeah, he's got Padawan robes and a lightsaber.
Oh dear God. I feel like they can't leave that story. Like if they ended it, then we got a clear cut ending. He goes with Luke Skywalker. He's going to get trained, but I don't want that. I want more Grogu. Yeah. I want more of Din, because I think that's what separates this show from everything else. Like we love the characters, we love everything, but like that emotional bond between a bounty hunter and its bounty,
right?
Turning in not in love, but like turning into like familial love. I think that's big. Like I don't remember a show honestly performing better than its first season and being staying perfect. Like I don't.
Yeah.
Like this is the best television I've watched in a very long time.
Yeah. You know, and I was thinking, for as horrible as this year has been, we've gotten some pretty phenomenal content to watch, and in the geek world, you know, we were starving for some Marvel, but maybe, you know, what they gave us is just as good. We got almost an entire channel devoted to Star Trek and CBS All Access and everything they got over there. Picard was awesome. Then we get this, and this is like you said, how is it better than its original season? And it is, and it's, I'm still, now I got to wait literally a whole year to see this. And, and you know, the announcements of the future has us all like, what's going to happen? What's going on? So it's been horrible, sure, but like for geekdom, this has been a big deal for me. And it's pretty amazing what we're getting out there right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, and like it's crazy because like next week we should have been reviewing Dune. Or maybe this week would have been it would have been this week. This week we should have been reviewing Dune. And we probably would have just been like, oh, we love Dune. Mandalorian had a great episode too. But like this is getting all the attention as it should be because it's a fantastic series. But it's also a series that like you're getting different directors each episode and new directors from season that didn't come over from season one to season two. And they're still maintaining that even 100% perfection. Because like this was Peyton Reed's second episode this season and he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. And it's crazy that he spans the worst episode in that the Spider episode. He directed that, and then he directs this. I don't know what else to say besides like it's the best type of fan service, and it's just them listening and them being fans themselves, and getting to play with their toys and make, you know, something for everybody to see. So that's what it feels like.
I would trust them with any property at this point.
Yeah.
Because like the research that they go into, the deep dives that they go into, if DC's looking to reboot their whole universe, Filoni and Favreau.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. But well, then we would lose Star Wars. But is it fair to say that this was a 5 for you?
Yeah. The whole series is a 5, and this was a 5. I just don't know how it could get any better. I was with the Luke reveal. When he took the steps, like you see the X-wing, and I was like, "Nah, they're not gonna do Luke, are they?" And then, gradually you see more and more things. You see the hood, the black robes and the black
the glove.
Jumpsuit or whatever, and then he's doing like force pushes. His force powers are legends force powers that he has. He doesn't have it in the movies. These are things he has in Legends, and then the green lightsaber, and then he just like destroys all of them. Like and then
I don't think they touched him.
No, and then he does the thing from behind the back that his dad did and stuff. It's all like subtle homages, and then you see Moff Gideon be like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
and he tries to kill himself.
Time, Yeah, is that the first time we've ever seen like the realization of suicide in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah. Like Moff Gideon I don't know if he realized who it was or if he was just like, I can't handle this. I can't handle being out of control, because he kind of controls everything.
Well, he said when the lightsaber came out, he said Jedi. He's like a Jedi. Like, I don't think he had any idea who it was. He just knew it was a Jedi, and he's like, I'm done. Like, yeah, it's game over.
Yeah.
Do you think – so we'll talk about wrapping up. We'll talk about our plans for the future for the series, but – I think Moff Gideon is done with The Mandalorian, and he becomes your next cast member in Rangers of the New Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's going to spill secrets, or at least they're going to try and spill secrets. So I think you're going to take Cara Dune away. You're going to take Moff Gideon away. They're going to go on their own show.
Yeah.
Fennec is gone with Boba Fett on their own show now. I think what we're left with season 3 of Mandalorian is the rebuilding of Mandalore, or this quest to Mandalore, which could kind of, you know, I said Boba Fett could be the Punisher. Maybe he kind of accepts that he is Mandalorian, or like he's spawned from a Mandalorian foundling. And this is the rebuilding of the Mandalore kingdom. And mm-hmm. he's got like, now we have outposts. We have Tatooine as, you know, the south side of the Mandalorian stuff. And you have alignment with Greef Karga on his planet, and Cara Dune, like this could be the resurgence of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Or Mandalore.
With Moff Gideon, I he's too good. Giancarlo Esposito is too good to let him just go away.
Absolutely. He's honestly one of my FOMO of never meeting.
Yeah.
Like, I had an opportunity to meet him in Hamilton, of all places. And I think I think he offered us pie. I was with Chuck and he offered us pie. It was very weird, but like priorities weren't to meet Giancarlo Esposito, and now I'm like, shit, I should have absolutely met him.
He's too good, and he has, you know, every chance he gets, he's out there talking about how much he loves playing the character and how much he loves being on the show. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Like you said, I don't think he's going to be on The Mandalorian. I think he's going to the Rangers or somewhere else. But in this whole thing, I think he was trying to develop force powers in himself and get, you know, the whole taking Grogu's blood thing. I think that was half of it was getting the blood of somebody with M counts high enough to, like, spawn a clone for
Palpatine, or
Smoke or whatever, Snoke. So yeah. I think like that was important, but I also think he wanted to kind of create his own force sensitive powers. Like, he doesn't have it, and that was kind of his experiments. So I'm wondering if in his Rangers, like, he's kept in a prison cell or something, or and part of the show is we watch him his powers develop in some way.
Okay.
Or him get stronger and keep it under wraps or whatever. And
maybe see him go through withdrawal too, because he doesn't have any,
right,
you know, midichlorians to add to his system.
Yeah.
So, that would be cool. I'd like that.
He's too good, and he likes being there. So
yeah.
I don't think
he needs to come over to Marvel.
I don't know where, though.
Doctor Doom.
Yeah. Oof. That'd be good.
Yeah, I'd like to see him as Dr. Doom. I'm thinking villain for him. I don't want to see him as a good guy. I was thinking Dr. Doom or Magneto.
Oof.
If they went a different direction with Magneto, I think he'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
But he needs to come over. He's been part of two of my favorite shows of 2020, Mandalorian and The Boys.
Yeah.
Kind of forget that he was in The Boys.
Yeah, but he's so – and he played – the same, like, confident douchebag in The Boys.
Yeah, he plays Moff Gideon in everything. I guess we got to go back to Gus Fringe. He plays Gus Fringe in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's an absolute force, man. He is now on my 2021 list of people to meet at a con if there are cons. So he's definitely one of those. But But 5 for 5, man, we got 4 shows coming out in the future from this universe that are all going to cross over. So maybe Thrawn is that big crossover moment that we're hoping for. But we have a full year to discuss that. Next week, we may be back with a Wonder Woman review because Christmas is coming. And I am leaving for 2 weeks, and we got to maybe squeeze something in. But we'll be back with an episode, whether it's Wonder Woman or it's a solo episode or it's an old repost of an episode. But we'll be back next week. Follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars Podcast, wherever you are on social media. Download the podcast on all podcast platforms. Support Active Geek every Wednesday. And happy holidays to all of our listeners. We hope you all do well and have a happy new year if we don't see you then. And here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.